Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. The pandemic and the personal and economic toll it took put a dark cloud over 2020. At the same time, there were some silver linings to that cloud. There are those that turned the unexpected loss into a chance to strengthen their personal and professional paths. Many people use the time that busy schedules did not permit before to learn a new skill. What are some of the positive things that emerged in 2020? We'll take your calls right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez. Officials are calling for an investigation into the tasing of a Native American man at the Petroglyph National Monument in Albuquerque. Daryl House told KOB-TV that he went off the trail to avoid a large group and maintain social distancing. He says a ranger followed him and told him to return to the trail and then asked him for identification. House, a former Marine, refused. He filmed the initial encounter and posted it on Instagram, which includes his small dog, Geronimo, barking.
I don't want to ID myself. So, I'm on the trail now.
That would be refusing a lawful order. You understand that? And then you'll be detained until I can ID you. Do you understand that?
You're not going to touch me, sir.
A second video taken by House's sister shows the ranger tasing House several times after he fell on the ground convulsing and cried for help. House told the TV station he has often left the trail at the monument to pray and meditate, but has never been challenged for doing so. Executive Director of Utah Dene Bekea, Woody Lee, said the incident was a violation of religious, cultural, and human rights, and noted in a press release that the Petroglyph National Monument is a sacred site with a history of indigenous peoples fighting for religious freedom. Democratic lawmakers from New Mexico, U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich and U.S. Representative Ben Ray Lujan, demanded an immediate investigation. The two wrote in a joint press release, quote, "This landscape is sacred to tribes and holds deep meaning for the people of New Mexico. Everyone should feel safe and welcome on our public lands." The National Park Service has released the body camera footage from the ranger and said the incident is under review and has been referred to its Internal Affairs Office for investigation. In a statement, NPS said before the officer used his taser, he tried to resolve the situation with a warning and by providing information on why going off trail could hurt the site. NPS said both House and his sister provided fake names and dates of birth to the officer. House was cited for being in a closed area off trail, providing false information, and failing to comply with a lawful order. His sister received citations for providing false information and being in a closed area off trail. In a virtual meeting with tribal leaders this week, U.S. Representative Deb Haaland said she's committed to fully honoring the federal government's trust and treaty obligations. The Hill reports Haaland said she will work to address the disproportionate harm Native Americans face from what she says are long-running environmental injustices and climate change. Haaland is President-elect Joe Biden's nominee to head the U.S. Department of Interior. She's a member of Laguna Pueblo and also has Jemez Pueblo heritage. If confirmed, she would be the first Native American cabinet secretary. Leaders of a California city are considering renaming a park after a state-recognized tribe. The park is currently named after President Andrew Jackson, who oversaw the forced relocation of tribes in the southeastern United States to Oklahoma, an action now referred to as the Trail of Tears. The East Bay Times reports the Alameda Parks and Recreation Commission unanimously recommends renaming it to Chochenyo Park after a lineage of the Olon tribe. The name was among more than 150 names submitted through surveys and public meetings. The name change requires a vote by the city council, which is not obligated to take the commission's recommendation. And this week, Google celebrated Alaska Native Civil Rights champion Elizabeth Paradovich on its Doodle. She played a key role in the passage of the first anti-discrimination law in the United States. On December 30, 1941, she and her husband, both Clinkett, saw a sign on the door of an inn that read, "No Natives Allowed." It was just the latest example of blatant discrimination she and her husband, Roy, found when they moved to Juneau and were unable to buy a house. The couple helped to draft Alaska's first anti-discrimination bill, which finally passed in 1945. In 1988, the Alaska State Legislature declared February 16th as Elizabeth Paradovich Day. Earlier this year, the U.S. Mint released a $1 gold coin with her likeness. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working across the nation to address the opioid crisis in tribal communities. Information and support at aaip.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you from my homelands of Shirwutui via Skype. The global pandemic has been tough for tribal officials trying to keep community members safe. It's been tough for individuals who lost loved ones, their jobs, or had to adapt to a new working situation. It's been tough on nearly everyone adjusting to restrictive things like social norms. But there are some positive things that happened despite this being what Time magazine called the worst year ever. In a major ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court decided in favor of treaty obligations for tribes in Oklahoma. Protests forced city, state, and federal leaders to reassess how they recognize historical figures who don't stand the test of time. And a Native American woman is nominated for a U.S. cabinet seat. At a personal level, people at home started baking bread, gardening, and also taking up art and passion projects and focused on family and personal well-being. So there's a lot that has happened this year, and we want to weigh in, share some of your thoughts. What are some of the positive things that did come out of 2020? You can join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Today, we're going to start off in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have Jeer Anderson with us, and he is the founder of Native Guitars Tour, and he is Coach de Pueblo. Jeer, it's our pleasure to have you here for another Native America Calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Tara. Just want to say hi to everybody this glorious day, and I'm excited to talk about, 2020, I guess.
Well, we are excited about it, too. And, Jeer, just thinking about everything that has gone on in 2020, I know that there have been a lot of obstacles that people have had to come over. And you understand the entertainment industry and what it means to be on stage. And this year, stages were closed down, venues that have been open for decades. And a lot of things have come to a standstill. But a lot of people have found another way to keep the energy going out to audiences. And Jeer, talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you've shifted to make sure people weren't missing the arts, the music. Tell me more.
Yeah. So, we were all, I think, impacted by this pandemic with COVID coming on early in March. But for me, as a music promoter, producer, and founder of Native Guitars Tour, our primary avenue for entertainment was live performances. But, as soon as things shut down, we immediately started thinking virtual. So for us, we had to really improve on our audio, our video, visual for that virtual platform. So, that's what we did. We just took off where the live shows ended, and we started doing things online. A lot of learning. It was a big, huge learning curve for us with, producing audio for the virtual world versus the live world. So that was a bit of a challenge, as well as the visual, right? Because where we have live audiences in which is our norm. Moving on to a virtual audience and being able to capture that visually, with cameras and camera phones and all that stuff. So, you know, we really didn't skip a beat. You know, there was a few months there that we took to learn some stuff, but then we immediately, you know, started producing programming and finding different ways to support our native musicians and artists. So it's been a learning experience for sure, but it's been pretty exciting, and we've been having a really good time.
And so what was it that drove you to this, or got you all to this point where you're saying, okay, we know this is happening, but we're going to keep it going? You know, what was it that made you want to, you know, up your game online and things like that? What was it that brought you to that point where you said, you know, I'm going to make some positive out of all of this?
You know, that's just kind of what I do. You know, it's something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy supporting the community, and I really have a lot of artists that are looking at Native Guitars Tour and myself to, you know, for that support and a lot of responsibility there. I can't just, you know, say, okay, we're having troubled times and that's it. You know, we have to keep moving. We have to find ways to move. And I've always been that type of person that is ready to be innovative, to study and look to see where the industry is going, where it's headed. And this is, you know, just another a little hiccup, but, you know, definitely something that has been happening slowly in the past, but now that, you know, we're kind of tied to it, it's really accelerated our movement in the virtual world and our different platforms that we have. So, you know, the motivation, I would say, what kept me going is just really our community, you know, wanting to not stop and wanting to keep moving. And we have a resilient community out there. You know, as natives, we've been through a lot, you know, in our history. So this is not too different for us, right? Because we're already living the lifestyle that the rest of America is starting to live now, you know, having to live off minimalistic, you know, just these things that, you know, like on the reservations, having to get their own water, you know, stuff as I'm not saying simple as that, but I mean, we've been doing that since, you know, colonization. So we're just resilient, and it's really the community, I think, that's keeping me going.
And so, Jer, some of the things that Native Guitars Tour is doing is putting out three ways to connect with listeners. And it seems I had a chance to take a look at some of that, and it seems that this is actually a chance for musicians to even just talk to each other. Tell me what that has opened up, and of course, these three things that you're doing.
Yeah, so it's really opened up a lot for us with the community, right? Because we're here to support Native artists. Our motto is providing a stage for Native America, and we were founded in 2007 with that, you know, ideology of supporting the Native community, giving them a platform. So what this has done, you know, the pandemic and I think the things you're talking about are some of the programming that we have. We have a show on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. It's called NGT Open Mic Night. And basically, you know, bringing that, again, that live show virtual. So we have Jacob Shahay from Santa Clara Pueblo. He's part of our Native Guitars Tour team, and he hosts that show. And he'll bring on a featured guest that'll kind of co-host with him. And then he'll open it up to musicians. And he's had people on from, you know, throughout the U.S., Canada. We even had some people, some natives that are out in Europe that have joined the open mic night and have performed. So it's a really vast opportunity for all musicians out there to have an opportunity to showcase their talents and just connect. You know, we're able to connect with those people live, and we do all these shows live. That way we can have that interaction. And then on Wednesday mornings, we have a more laid-back show. It's called NGT Cafe, and that's with Scotty Clifford out in the Badlands in South Dakota from the Pine Ridge Reservation. And he is just basically a morning conversation. You know, you get your cup of coffee and you sit down and you tune into the live on Instagram. And he's just having these conversations with different artists. And the topics, you know, go all over the place. So it's just more of a casual conversation. And then on Thursday nights, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we have a show that I host. It's called Behind the Mask, right? So it's a play off of the masks that we have to wear, the COVID masks. So the way I tie it in is these musicians are superheroes, kind of that type of mask, right? Like a superhero mask. And they take these masks off. And then we have an interview. And we kind of talk about, you know, what they're going through with COVID, what they're doing for their self-care, how they're handling it with their music. And then also we do some live performances as well. And for me, it's been an awesome, awesome, great opportunity to reconnect, because a lot of these musicians I tour with, I see them on the road, I see them backstage. And, you know, since we're not performing live, this is kind of an opportunity to reconnect and also to meet a lot of new artists. And again, we've had people from Barcelona to, I mean, we had Keith Sokola on, we have Stevie Solis coming up in January. So we have the whole span of your entry level artists all the way to your top touring artists. So it's wow. An awesome community out there. So it's just, yeah, it's been really
exploding.
Good.
And, you know, I had a chance to take a look at the performance by Mozart Gabriel, who was connecting to y'all from Barcelona. And so here's one example of how these folks in the music industry said, okay, we're not stopping. We'll just figure out another way to do this. That is so native in so many ways. And, you know, applause to many people who have figured out another way to keep going, maybe even do things better, getting to folks that they never connected with before. Maybe you're that person. Tell us about it. Phone lines are open. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We want to hear all about it today.
The McGirt Supreme Court decision, the election, and offensive mascots were just a few of the big news stories this year. On the next Native America Calling, we'll talk with journalists about the stories they think were the most important for Native Americans in 2020, and which stories could have used more recognition. We hope you can join us.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and today we are making space to talk about some of the things that sprung up in 2020 for the better. Despite all the uncertainty, what good things happened to you this year? What encouraging things did you see come out of your Native community? We want to hear about it. Join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And with us on the line today is the founder of the Native Guitars Tour. He is a Cochiti Pueblo member. My pleasure to have here, Jer Anderson. Thank you for being with us. And some of the things that you described earlier, I know resonated with a lot of folks of overcoming obstacles. And for you, what are some of the positive things you've learned from these times? And maybe it's even beyond what you've been doing with Native Guitars Tour. Tell me more.
Wow. I think there's a lot of things that I've taken from 2020. You know, I think, you know, from the standpoint of Native Guitars Tour, some of the positive things that have come out is the ability to improve, right, in the virtual, kind of your world, right, the radio, the whole audio thing, you know, just getting that down. If you were to see my setup, I have, you know, microphones and billions of wires all over the place and cameras and iPads and just the whole setup here, you know, to do the productions that we do. So just learning that has been a real positive thing. And then also being able to pass that on, you know, to our musical artists, you know, because they're also learning. And so the whole thing that we've been doing since we started is to develop these techniques and see what works, right? What sounds good with the equipment that musicians probably already have, you know, with adding, you know, just a few things to their equipment that they're able to produce, you know, get high quality sound, high quality video, you know, lighting and stuff like that. So it's also been, you know, an educational experience where we're passing that on. And we do have shows that we do talk about how to do setups and stuff like that. So that's been one positive thing. But on a more personal note, you know, it's just kind of reconnecting with family, you know, with my wife, my kids, our dogs and our chickens. And my wife started a garden in the spring, early 2020. And, you know, just learning that whole how to garden thing, you know, for her was challenging. And then that got me into it, right? So I became a gardener a little bit and had to build a chicken house and all this stuff. So it's been nice to become self-sufficient with things like that, with a garden, with animals, and just connecting again with the family. You know, having homes, the kids homeschooled has been a challenge. And us just being able to work in our own little ecosystem here, you know, with our emotions and you know, just being a family, you know. So I think that's one positive thing that's definitely come out of 2020. And you know, for the community, again, it's just, you know, reconnecting and trying to stay connected, you know, making those efforts to reach out to these different musicians and these different people, that, you know, not letting that go. So that's been a real positive thing as well. So, and then, you know, providing opportunities for them to showcase music and stuff like that. So a lot of positive things, I would say, came out of 2020 for me.
And you know what? We're looking for your list too. Go ahead and dial in 1-800-996-2848. And you know what? I'm going to have to add to your intro, chicken coop maker. That ain't easy. You know, we can get into a great discussion about soil and bugs, especially with starting gardens. And if you've never done it, you learn a lot. What about you? Maybe you took this time to learn something new or attend a conference or maybe even break open something that has been gathering dust, and now you're full swing. You're sewing dance outfits. Maybe you made a chicken coop. Tell us about it. We want to hear the silver linings of 2020. 1-800-996-2848. Also want to bring in another guest that we have joining us today out of San Diego, California. We have DJ Vanis, and he is a motivational speaker, best-selling author, and owner of Native Discovery Incorporated. He is from the Odawa Nation, and it's our pleasure to have him here. DJ, thanks for joining us for another Native America Calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Tara. It's great to be here, and Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, it's right about to kick off. And so, DJ, you hear how this group, Native Guitars Tour, is keeping things positive, keeping things going. How important is it that we continue to keep things going, even though there's an obstacle, and, you know, your reflections of doing this in 2020?
Yeah, and I love what Jared was saying. I was smiling and shaking my head the whole time because I can relate to so much
of that journey, of that experience. I think any of us can that are trying to do, continue our work, and we all had to make a big pivot. I know that was one of the things that, you know, I go out and do live programs, you know, keynote speaking, training, you know, consulting in communities. You know, I've worked with over 500 tribal nations, and all of that came to a screeching halt in March. The last program I did was with Chickasaw Nation in early March, and haven't been anywhere since, except virtually. And that was the big pivot of turning the corner and learning a completely different skill set. But one of the things that I was shaking my head about is, number one, as Native people, we are creative. We are innovative. We are entrepreneurs at our core. We always have been, and we still are today. It's our strength. And that's one of the things that I've seen and have really, you know, been smiling from ear to ear, hearing all these stories of resiliency, of people that are finding a way forward. And one of the things that you had asked Jer about, you know, what did it take to, you know, continue offering, you know, the beautiful music to inspire people that he does with his artists, is I was writing down, you know, just thinking about that. For me, what it comes down to is, when you're passionate about sharing something and there is a necessity to changing the way that's delivered, you'll find a solution. And that was one of the things that came up for me, because the first, you know, when this first started, it really was hard to connect. And my first setup, I know Jerry was talking about his technical setup. Oh boy, you should have seen mine. It was an upside down Home Depot bucket, a stack of magazines. I had a flashlight, a reading light. You know, it's gotten a little bit more sophisticated since. But the point is, you find a way. And once you turn that corner, I'm still able to work with the groups I serve. You know, my whole mission is to provide for providers across our Native communities that are in healthcare, that are in education, that are needing that kind of boost, that encouragement, some of those strategies on self-care that are so critically important so they can continue the work that they do. And so that was a big takeaway. And now I'm busier than I've ever been through this, doing my programs, and finding a different way to deliver.
Be like water, I think. Is that the quote? Is that the Bruce Lee quote? You know, you do. You do have to be like water. Keep it flowing. Find a way. Get through. Keep that life going. And DJ, for you, when you've seen some of the people either on social media, in your own circle, or just circles you've worked with in the past, be like water. Get through this moment. How does that make you feel? And maybe some of the things that you have witnessed.
It's inspiring to me. I mean, hands down, it's inspiring, because that's what I go back to over and over again, is when I hear these stories, the people that I'm working with, whether it's frontline healthcare workers, people in communities, people that are struggling with having 5 kids at home because they're not in school, people are finding ways to move forward. And that's what we do. That's what we've always done. And every time I hear one of those stories, it makes me inspired to continue forward as well. I mean, this whole pandemic, it basically comes back to it. Yes, we have to flow like water. And if one way doesn't work, we find another way. And if that doesn't work, we find another way. And we figure it out as we go. And we don't have to do it alone. That's the other part of staying connected during this has been so critically important, to be able to, you know, share best practices, give each other words of encouragement, share some prayers with people, share some things that are going right, but also share some of the struggles. You know, being able to be vulnerable and say, hey, you know, I'm hurting too. I'm, you know, struggling with this as well. And that for me has been a big part of this process. Is, I mean, this has been humbling, I think, for everybody. You know, to really be able to sit back and really see how little we do control, but also be reminded of what we do control, the choices we make, you know, those small, seemingly small actions that can have a big impact. But they all matter. And that's what I come back to, is I get inspired. You know, it made me want to get back to doing the things, because at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people were kind of in freeze mode, you know, pause, how is this going to look? And then once people started kind of emerging back into the light, people started doing stuff. They started baking. They started learning new ways of doing business. You know, my daughter's got me to do a TikTok video, for crying out loud. I went back to writing. I went, I went, yeah, should see that one. I went back to running because my gym closed. So now I'm out doing old school workouts, running and lost weight because of it. Who knew? You know, look at the benefits of, you know, going back to these ways. But spending a lot more time in prayer and meditation. I've gone back to writing. Actually, developed a product that's going to be kind of the core of my next new book that I'm working on. I mean, there's ways that we can go through this. We didn't choose this situation, you know, and I know it's frustrating. Feels like being part of a suspense movie that nobody wanted to be a part of, you know, with this whole pandemic. But we didn't choose the situation that we're in now, but we do get to choose who we are and how we are as we go through this time period.
Yeah, and sometimes that means a new way. Join us, share your thoughts, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and go to our call line. We're going to say hi to Nick in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Nick, thanks for calling. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi, Tara. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you well. Welcome.
You hear me well. So this is not really germane, but I wanted to call yesterday. I've probably been listening to the show for 20 years or so. And I'm so thankful that it's allowed me to gain a much wider perspective of life in Indian country and share it with others that perhaps don't know and don't listen to the show. So I'm so thankful for that. And that's really all I wanted to share with you and everybody involved with the show. Just thank you.
Well, Nick, thank you for being there too and expanding your circle. And I think this is something that a lot of people, you know, what they have been connecting to during this time is also a great story in itself. And it's caused more people to learn more about something they didn't know or actually get a chance to get more of what they love in their ears, in their hearts, and in their minds. And so, Nick, we appreciate you. 20 years, that's great. Thank you for being a dedicated listener. And I got another dedicated listener on the line. We're going to go to Melvin, who is in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Yes, I would like to thank KZYK, KZYK for carrying your station. I listen every day, different topics. I just love it. It's a positive thing for my day to learn from you guys in Indian country. But the other positive thing I feel that happened this year was the appointment of that New Mexico congresswoman to the interior. We really needed that, you know, Indian country, where we would have something positive in the government, someone who's positive, who listening to your program, and they were telling us about how she practiced her tribal customs and spirituality. In the country right now, we have issues of sacred site issues, which goes back to the interior. And I think she can have a remedy in no time. And I'm feeling positive about it. I hope everybody listening will give this woman a chance and contribute to her success.
Well, thank you for that, Melvin. Yes, we are all watching and anticipating what will happen with her nomination and just imagining, you know, if she does get this seat, what will change? There's a lot. What about in your own community? Melvin, thank you for your call there in Santee, Nebraska. And yes, big ups, KZYK. Thank you for carrying the program. And when we think of some of this stuff that has gone on in our own communities, maybe you have seen a brighter side to people in your community. We just had our tribal elections. There's new leadership. There are people who are going to be handing the hat over in just a few days in different places. And what has come out of some of that? What are some of the positive things you have seen? What about language? Has this been a time where your native language was spoken the most under your roof? Were you the person who brought those words? Were you the person who picked up those words? Call in, share your thoughts. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We are looking for the things that you know, happened in 2020 that actually you're going to put a smile next to, or even a check next to, that you finally did that one thing. We're providing space for you today to talk about some of that. Dial in 1-800-996-2848. And DJ, before we go to break, I definitely want to give ways people can connect with you and the work you're doing. I know you got the Warrior's Guide coming out. Where do they find you?
Thank you, Tara. Yes, I'm excited that we finally are able to give this Warrior's Guide out. It just went live this morning, believe it or not, but it's a free download. If you go to our website, which is nativediscovery.com, you'll see a window that comes up, and you'll get a free copy of the Warrior's Guide. It's 8 Native American principles to create enduring strength. So it's going back to some of these old school ways on how we use that to stay strong and what we're going through right now, and once we get beyond it too. So please go to that, and hope you enjoy it.
All right. Well, we got DJ with us the full hour, and also Jer with us too. If you have anything to share with both of them, go ahead and give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And remember, we want to hear your positives. Go ahead and put some of that positive energy into these airwaves today. Maybe there's something new that happened to you in 2020. What about careers? I want to hear from people too. Maybe this was the time you chose to change directions, and now you're doing something you never imagined, and you are happier than you have ever been. I want to hear that story too. Go ahead and dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Go ahead, give us a ring. We're ready for you. We'll keep the phone lines open as we connect with more things here on Native America Calling.
If you're a Native American entrepreneur looking to expand or start up a business, you should know about the Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program, a federal program encouraging private lenders to make the business loan you need. The Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program supports your lender so your lender can support you. Information available by emailing dci@bia.gov. That's dci@bia.gov. The Office of Indian Energy and Economic Development supports this program.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are taking the glass half full view today on 2020. We know it's been a tough year, but we want to hear what are some of the positive things that happen. There's still time to join this conversation. There's a space for you. All you got to do is dial in 1-800-996-2848. And you know what? I got another caller on the line. I want to go ahead and say hello to Michael, who is in Jemez Pueblo, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Michael, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, when Jared was talking about the guitar tours, it reminded me of Stage 49, you know, all the different artists. But, you know, this one just, it's like it's going to go on and on until COVID is over. And also, I really like some of the traditional Native formats, like on YouTube and whatnot. You know, we have a group up in Jemez, Cloud Eagle, and they made some new songs and sang some old songs, and they explain the music, they explain the prayers involved, they explain, you know, and you get to know who they are instead of just the voice. It's just, and also the lockdown, like in Albuquerque, we have two radio stations that have indigenous music format. And I, with the lockdown, more and more people are tuning into that, and it's, and plus they've gone worldwide before COVID hit, and there's some Oklahoma tribes, there's tribes all over that are doing that, but it's a more, you know, native music, native songs, basically in the bare roots of it is prayer. So we appreciate that when it comes to the prayer songs.
Yeah, and that group that you mentioned, boy, they are some strong singers, and I enjoy listening to them too. Thanks for mentioning them. And you know what? I got another caller. We got Andrea, who is in Fort Belknap, Montana, tuned in on KGVA. Andrea, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Hello.
Hi there. What are you thinking today?
Actually, I'm kind of nervous. This time
it's okay.
On the radio.
You sound great. Yeah, you sound great.
I feel,
Mm-hmm.
I feel good today. I felt good yesterday, and I feel a lot better today. I've been going through some tough times, you know, this month, and it's not too, wasn't too good. I wasn't feeling too, you know, it felt like giving up. And, domestic violence, survivor, you know, survived that, and it was just like, everything was just getting hard. And, the music really helped me out a lot.
Mm.
I mean, I'd be in there, you know, I'd be in there by myself, but, there was people here with me, you know, because I was going through a really tough time, you know, the trials and tribulations and everything, you know, be it poverty, you know, just, what it was, you know, with the relationships, you know, and everybody would just come in, sing, you know, sing their songs. And every one of them had something about me or told my story, you know. So hopefully that can help other people out.
Andrea, I think it can. And, you know, when you get to that point where you're feeling good, you do got to celebrate. And I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you're here with us and are sharing some of that. And we know it has been very heavy in many ways. And when we get to that point where we feel, you know, you have that good feeling, you got to embrace it. And then now you're sharing it with us. I really appreciate that. Andrea, I wish you the best as we, you know, move further into our winter season. And, you know, hearing how much people depend on the music, it makes me feel good. I know it's a part of our foundations, and we are very grateful it gets passed on. Or when someone new discovers it, you hear their voice. It's a real good thing. Andrea, thank you for your voice today there out of Fort Belknap, Montana. I want to go now to Santo Domingo, Pueblo. We have another caller, Christopher, listening in on KUNM. Thanks for giving us a ring, Christopher. You're on air.
Hello, Tara. Remember me?
Hello.
I guess not. I'm your old friend from South Indian School and all the conferences and places like that. I had to call you today. I'm a COVID survivor. I was in the hospital for a week. And I'm now recovered, and I'm doing well. That's the good news. And mm-hmm. I'm also a tribal historical preservation officer for about 2 years now. And with Deb Holland getting into office, we got great things coming. I wanted to tell you that if other tribes have their tribal historical preservation officers, we need to get together and organize a national tribal health preservation office with a so we can speak our tribal issues to Deb Holland and the rest of the Native American and Democrats, you know, so we can push our issues across. I'm a student at the UNM. I'm getting my master's in Native American studies. I've got my master's in American studies, and I'm going to be taking my LSAT, but that's the good news on my part.
Wow, you got a lot of good news to share, Christopher. And yes, I do miss that, running into you at conferences and being together and just even reflecting on what people were talking about or just seeing how many people came together to learn and to grow. And so, yes, celebrated things. I'm glad to hear too about your health and our preservation officers, historic preservation officers. They do a lot of work, and it will be interesting to see how far things can go. Christopher, thanks for your call out of SD. We appreciate it. And I want to introduce you to another guest, but you can keep calling in. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma now. We got Nico Albert on the line. She is the founder and executive chef of Burning Cedar Indigenous Foods. She's a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Our pleasure to have her here. Nico, thanks for joining us for another Native America Calling.
Hi, Tara. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And Nico, go ahead, jump in there. Tell me about some of the things that you will remember 2024 and say, you know what, this was the good part.
Well, it's definitely been a roller coaster of a year, that's for sure. You know, in March, when kind of everything, you know, really, really started, I was the executive chef of a restaurant called Duet here in Tulsa. And, you know, we shut down like all of the other restaurants in town. And I was kind of furloughed for a while. And then when June came around, I ended up getting laid off for financial reasons. And so that was kind of a huge blow for me. I, you know, my day-to-day life for so many years as a chef in the restaurant industry has just been nonstop busy, you know, working 60, 70-hour weeks all the time. And, you know, to kind of just have the bottom drop out of that and be completely, you know, all of my time free, it was a huge adjustment for me. And so I kind of, you know, for a while, I did just kind of sit in a holding pattern, like we were talking about earlier, just kind of waiting to see what was going to happen, to see how things were going to progress. Am I going back to work? Am I going to have to figure out something else to do? And, but out of a lot of that downtime, I was able to kind of put some of my resources and my energy and my time into expanding something that's always been my passion, which is studying and sharing traditional indigenous foods. And so that's kind of how Burning Cedar Indigenous Foods came about. Is I, it's something that I've always kind of done on the side in my very short amount of spare time from running restaurants. I would, you know, just do private catering events or do speaking events or teaching events about traditional foods. And that's something that, you know, has always really fed my soul. It's been really important to me for my identity and for my community to be able to share those teachings that I have learned. And, you know, this pandemic kind of put that into perspective for me, that that's something that's really important to me, and I would love to be able to make that more of my focus. And so that's kind of what came out of this time, is for me to be able to really expand that into a business that I can put my efforts into.
And being able to share this kind of information is definitely connecting generations. And maybe a lot of people, you know, never had access to some of this information. And especially as we have seen many different industries change, including the restaurant industry or where we get food. And this seems to be a time, too, to just kind of refocus, reset. For you, thinking about how you are introducing people to food, maybe in a new way that it's in their DNA and it's been sleeping and itching and those taste buds are now waking up in ways they've been waiting to. Tell me more about, you know, what it means to, you know, really open up this side of things.
Well, yes, definitely. It's something that I think people have started thinking more about. It's, you know, with all of the challenges that came with this pandemic, as far as being able to access food, especially healthy food, you know, that's been an issue throughout this entire time, is how do we feed ourselves in a healthy way? You know, health and wellness has taken a new front seat for all of us because we've had to focus on, you know, on self-care so much with the health crisis that we're in. And a lot of that goes back to our traditional food ways. You know, as we're stuck at home and, you know, restaurants are not able to, you know, we're not able to go out and eat those prepared meals anymore, we're kind of having to shift our focus back to our families and feeding ourselves. And how do we do that in a way that that can strengthen our bodies and our minds? And traditional foods are definitely that, you know. We have seen so many people turn to gardening and, you know, taking this time that we have now. It's something that a lot of people haven't had. I know myself included. I never had time with my busy schedule to really make the effort to provide food for myself. And this spring at my home, we were able to create a garden, and I was able to, for the first time, grow my traditional Cherokee corn in my front yard. And that has been something that's so rewarding, to be able to plant those ancestral seeds and watch them grow, and then be able to make food to feed my family out of that. That's something that creates a connection to our ancestors and to our culture that is just so important. And I think it's been really enriching for my family and for the community. And, you know, part of what we've seen as part of, you know, what's come out of this pandemic is a lot of tribal communities really putting, you know, some of the CARES Act resources, more of their resources into food sovereignty, which has been something that's been happening for a long time now. It's been, you know, a campaign. Lots of effort has been put into, you know, taking back control of our own food systems, but especially now that some of the commercial food systems have broken down or seen a lot of difficulty getting food on the shelves in our, you know, the commercial food market in our grocery stores and things, the tribes have stepped up. And I know here in Oklahoma, the Osage Nation and the Creek Nation both have been able to invest some of that CARES Act money into meat processing plants that will directly feed their tribal citizens and be able to be a source for food outside of the commercial food sources. So some ways to provide food for our communities ourselves instead of having to rely on commercial sources. It's been a really positive outcome.
And Nico, what about just families? Thinking of families that are getting into this. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, like DJ was saying, and Jared too, we've all kind of been able to take this time to reconnect with each other. I know myself, I've always been so busy, you know, spending so many hours away from home at the restaurant, and being home for this time has really been a blessing, actually, to be able to spend so much time with my family and cooking meals together and sharing meals at home instead of, you know, usually I would just be at the restaurant, you know, eating in any spare moment that I have, just whatever is available. Now we're more thoughtful with, you know, how we sit and gather together to eat. And, you know, being able to make meals and provide for, you know, for other family members who may not be able to make meals for themselves right now, that's been something that we've been doing. And quite a few opportunities to share recipes with my community. You know, I've been kind of talking about having to pivot, you know, all of the events that I had planned where, you know, they would be big dinners or different catering events that I would have been planning to do kind of got derailed because of the pandemic and not being able to gather in person. So I've had to pivot and find ways to share these recipes and share food with the community, you know, from home. So I've, you know, my family and I have kind of turned into our own little television crew, basically. we make our own videos now. We invested in a little bit of equipment, nothing fancy or anything, but, you know, we got the, you know, the lighting and tripod set up and invested in a better camera to be able to, you know, make these cooking videos at home. And I've been able to take my stepdaughter with me to, you know, make some cooking videos for our Indian education program here in Tulsa, to show some different ways that we make, you know, healthy food that families can enjoy together. And, you know, yeah, we've had to kind of learn new skills together to, you know, a lot of it is we've gotten some tips actually from my stepdaughter who's, you know.
Well, I know there's a lot. And our young people, they're really stepping up and teaching us new things. You know, you got your young ones with the video, DJ and TikTok, and Jer, I know he's got some stuff that's cooked up because of our young ones. We're celebrating a lot. We're celebrating you, too, for also spending this hour with us. I'm Tara Gable.
Program support from AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps members who serve in VISTA make a difference in the fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining valuable skills. Rewarding service opportunities are available across America, focusing on economic opportunity, healthy futures, education, and more. It will change your life and the lives of others. Information at AmeriCorps.gov/VISTA.
Hamitakipiki. Leo makakini tiwahe which hosani tchapi pasio. Hechano kitaku zania washte glushtao kihipelo. La kolvichosano TL yayo isamasole at shihanta. Lel yayo healthcare.gov. Nishtel mas aphayo. 1-800-318-2596. Le wotchaniki Medicare and Medicaid o tieta hiapelo. Ho hechetuelo.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.